Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Well, hello, everyone. How are you today? I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. Belly up to my bar. Let's sit here and have a little chat on Power Ranks Wednesday. We're going to do this a little differently, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. Now, I got a lot of really positive feedback on yesterday's show, talking about all the coaching vacancies and how you and I looked at it as a team, and you know, you were going to be my assistant coach or my GM or whatever. And we weighed all the options of the different teams, you know, who's the most attractive, who's the least attractive. If you haven't checked that show out, please do. I'd like to hear more feedback on it. I had a lot of fun with that. Today should be fun too, but today kind of sets up tomorrow. Here's our rest of the week schedule. Friday, we're breaking down four wild card games. Unfortunately, three of them, I think, are kind of stinky. But I'm excited about next week, the divisional round, should be absolutely fantastic. Anyways, Friday we're breaking down games, picking games, going into a little more detail than we usually do during the regular season, different matchups, things to look for, all those terrific things. Tomorrow will also be Twitter Thursday, as usual. So get your questions in now, at WilliamsonNFL. The Hall of Fame finalists were revealed yesterday, so we're going to talk about that tomorrow, too. There's 16 of them. A couple names that didn't make that cut that surprised me. Well, that'll be a good 5-10 minute conversation tomorrow, talking Hall of Fame. If you have any questions along those lines, shoot them my way. And then I expect today's conversation to drum up some interest, positive, negative, to your favorite teams. As I mentioned, it is Power Rank Friday, or that's not Friday, Power Rank Wednesday, as usual. I imagine this will be our last Power Rank, though. I haven't given as much thought, but next Wednesday, we're going to find out something different to do besides Power Ranks. But anyways, I have this broken into several categories. So I ranked all the playoff teams from 1 to 12 in offense, defense, special teams, quarterback, running back, wide receiver slash tight end. Because I originally did it wide receiver and tight end, but I was given too much, you know, I lumped them all together. Tight ends are receivers nowadays. O-line, defensive tackles, which I mean by the 280-plus pound dudes on your defense. You know, 3-4 defensive ends, nose tackles, pure D tackles. It's harder to decipher front sevens nowadays than it was in the past. So then I got another category for edge. You know, these are, you know, basically edge pass rushers that line up at the tackle or outside the tackle, sometimes in a three-point stand, sometimes on their feet, whatever. I think you guys can figure that out. Linebackers, for example, Von Miller, Khalil Mack, they're not linebackers, they're edge players. Bobby Wagner is a linebacker. Second-level guys. They back the line. Linebackers. And defensive backs is the last category. Then I went through and just added them all up, you know, because I ranked these all from 1 to 12. So I ranked, and then I just did all the addition, you know, I was able to do it all by myself, of offensive points, you know, which teams had the most offensive points, which teams had the most defensive points, which teams had the highest and lowest totals. And that doesn't mean I think they're the best team by any stretch of the imagination. Or that even they're the best offense. Because whenever I ranked offenses, I just did it on who I think is the best offense. And so it's I didn't include that with the offensive points. When we get to that, I'll explain it again. But my offensive points are quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, all added up. My defensive points are defensive tackle, edge, linebacker, defensive backs, all added up. So let's start with offense. All right, I got my trusted little spreadsheet here. And I will say there are better offenses in the playoffs this year than there are defenses. And you'll see that. I mean, here's how I rank the offense, starting from best to worst. Atlanta, New England, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Dallas. Dallas is at 5. And Dallas, the difference to me from 1 to 5 is minimal. I mean, those are 5 really good offenses. Is Dallas a better offense than the Patriots, who I have at 2? Maybe. I mean, I'm pretty confident Atlanta's 1. So I'm not hating on you, Dallas. I'm just, they're really, really good offenses in this playoff picture this year. Seattle at 6. Generally is a pretty darn good offense. KC at 7. The Lions at 8. Miami at 9. The Giants at 10. That might be a little generous. But at least they have a quarterback. As you will see, these last two teams, the Raiders at 11. The Texans at 12, and of course, I am operating under the assumption that Matt Moore is going to be the quarterback in Miami, although there's a shot Tannehill plays, that Cook is going to be the quarterback in Oakland, and Brock is going to be leading his Houston Texans. So that is my top 12 offenses, just generally speaking. Again, drop me a line on Twitter, tell me what an idiot I am, how could I possibly have Kansas City 7, what am I thinking having Miami 9, however you want to handle it. Or you could be a little more gentle than that. So, back to my point. Defenses aren't that impressive. You know, there's not a Broncos from last year, a Seattle from every year. You know, even Seahawks defense is good, but it's not elite. So ranking these defenses, I wonder if that in turn, you know, I'm just broad strokes here, that in turn, does that mean we'll see more points in the playoffs than we have in the past? You know, I mean, teams like Atlanta will be in the dome, and maybe weather won't be as big a deal. I don't know. You know, Dallas has home field. They won't be a weather team. But anyways, best defense, I feel very confident, is the Giants. Second on the list is the Patriots, who gave up by far the least points in the league this past year. At 3, I have Seattle. No Earl, but they're still extremely strong. I'm actually going to write an article about about Wagner today. Their middle linebacker, great player. I think he's been the best linebacker, second level player in the league this year with Kuechly's injuries and whatnot. But I have Houston as the 4th defense. I have Kansas City as the 5th. The Steelers as the 6th. I was torn between them and Dallas, 6 and 7. Dallas, I gave 7. Green Bay, I gave 8, which can be good but inconsistent. The big plays in the cornerback situation is frightening. Miami's defense has fallen apart at 9. The Raiders' defense, I can't count on at all. They're 10. The Falcons' defense is flat out bad, in my opinion, but maybe improving at 11. And the Lions at 12. So those last 5 are bad, man. I mean, like, these are some of the worst defenses in the league. And they're, you know, in Atlanta's case, a favorite. I mean, the Steelers defense and the Cowboys defense at 6 and 7, most years, if you were ranking defenses, those defenses would be near the bottom. Okay. Special teams, I totally cheated. I have told you guys many times, I'm a big fan of Football Outsiders. I suggest all of you check out their work. I basically just pillaged their rankings. There's one real interesting thing here, though, too, and we'll get to that at the end. Kansas City's 1st, Tyreek Hill, is an absolute madman, difference maker. Lions are 2nd. Again, I don't watch every special teams tape, so I'm just taking broad areas from Football Outsiders, who do a terrific job, and using their rankings from the year. The Patriots are 3. They're always good on special teams. Atlanta is 4. Cowboys are 5. The Seahawks are 6. The Raiders, 7. Dolphins, 8. The Giants, 9. The Steelers, 10. The Packers, 11. And per these, you know, these rankings, a lot of these aren't all that much different than the others, except for the Texans, who come in at 12 on this, and they were about the worst special teams in the entire league this year. So keep an eye on that, you know, when they play the Raiders and possibly advance to go to New England. How bad, or is there a big gaping problem with the Texans special teams? All right, quarterback ranks. This one's hard. This one's going to get you guys fired up. Speaking of which, I went on Jay Soderbergh's podcast yesterday talking playoffs a little bit. Speaking of fired up, Obama fired up, Tom Brady fired up. Check that out. That's on my timeline. That was fun. Chatting with Pod Vader once again. Anyways, Patriots at one, very, very narrowly over the Packers. This isn't usually my fallback, but Brady's got more rings. Brady in the playoffs is money. Going to be home the whole way through. That didn't factor in either. I think Aaron Rodgers is a slightly better player. Slightly. But who do you trust in the playoffs? Do you trust TB? You know, you guys can battle me on that one. Fine. Some of you probably would have Matt Ryan higher than third. I have him third. I understand that he's a strong MVP candidate. He's having a great year. But who do you trust in the playoffs? I trust Rodgers. I trust Brady more than I trust Ryan. Roethlisberger and Wilson are 4 and 5. They haven't had great years, more uneven years than we're accustomed to with these guys. But also, come playoff time, I'm in their corner. You know, like, Stafford is my 6th quarterback here, and he's had a better season than Ben or Wilson. I think that's undeniable. But who do you want starting for you in Foxborough or in Super Bowl 51? I went Ben, I went Wilson over Stafford. Although I'm a huge Stafford fan, and you guys should know that, listen to me. Dak Prescott is firmly at number 7. I think he's clearly behind those top 6 I mentioned, and clearly ahead of Alex Smith at 8. Eli's at 9, and I wanted to put him 12, but I just couldn't because Matt Moore's 10, Osweiler's 11, and Cook is the total unknown at 12. Eli Manning's playing bad football right now, and for him to be 9th on this quarterback list shows how bad those other 3 are. Obviously not the nicest things to say about Eli. The running back situation. Le'Veon Bell backed up by D'Angelo Williams is pretty damn strong. That's 1. Zeke Elliott at 2. Pretty damn strong. Falcons combination of Freeman and Coleman is where it starts to get a little picky, but I think they're 3. It's a good, very strong combination. I am a huge Jay Ajayi fan. I do not think he's a flash in the pan whatsoever. He goes to 4. The Patriots combination almost beat out Miami. You know, Blunt's having a great year. I love Deion Lewis. White is a solid contributor. A strong and versatile stable of running backs there. They are 5. Lamar Miller is at 6. Okay. I mean, I expect a little more out of him, but not the best year anyways. The combination of Ware and West, mostly Ware, has Kansas City at 7. He barely nudged out Latavius Murray at 8. And I like the other backs there in Oakland, too. Maybe I should have switched them. Maybe. I don't know. Seattle at 9, a little bit of an unknown factor with the injuries. If they had Rawls and Procise, I would probably have them up around 5 or 6. Too much of an unknown with injuries right now for me to be any higher on them than that. Green Bay's odd running back situation is at 10. Montgomery, I like him, but, you know, how much can you count on him? I think Paul Perkins is coming on really strong, and as the arrow's pointing up on his career, he's at 11. And the Lions really don't have a running back. They're at 12. Although Zenner's done some okay things lately. The pass catchers, receiver-tight end combination. So remember, I mean, the tight ends factor in here too. I got the Packers at 1, with as well as Nelson's playing. 3 or 4 receivers deep. Cook is a really good player. I got Atlanta at 2. Julio's a stud. They've got a lot of options there as well. I've got the Steelers at 3, basically based on Antonio Brown, of course, who's a superstar. Ladarius Green's coming back. Maybe you'll get a little more out of Coates in the offseason. Who knows? The Giants, not the offseason, the postseason. The Giants, I really like Shepard, but Odell is obviously carrying this. I mean, we have the 3 best receivers in the league. In these rankings, they're all in the top 4 for me, even though that the supporting cast in New York isn't great. I like the total body of work here in Seattle. I wish Lockett was involved. Jimmy Graham would be my number 2 tight end in the postseason behind Kelsey, and that's who comes in at 6. Kansas City, the combination of Kelsey and Hill is really impressive. If I knew Macklin was Macklin, this day would be much higher. We just haven't seen it from him. We need to see more. I've told you guys this many times. from Cooper and Crabtree. Not a lot of a presence from the tight end position either. The Raiders are at 7. Hopkins, Fuller, Fedorowicz. Houston's got a solid set and a very diverse set of receivers. They come in at 8. The Patriots at 9, and I'm really intrigued with what Floyd's going to do there. Edelman, Bennett, you guys know the names. Cowboys at 10 seems like a slight. You know, I mean, Dez Bryant, Cole Beasley. I'm not a big believer in Witten anymore, but, I mean, he gets the job done. Maybe that's a little hard on Dallas to be 10, although the teams in front of them all have a pretty decent case. Even Miami at 11, I mean, they get little from the tight end, but Landry, Parker, big plays by Stills, that's a pretty good group of receivers, young. And the Lions at 12, I mean, that's probably a little harsh on them, too. I like Tate, Jones is good, I think Ebron's a fine receiver. You mix in Bolden, it's a little harsh, but such is life. Somebody had to be 12, and all these groups catch the ball pretty well. Pretty good groups of receivers in this playoffs. Also, very good offensive lines in this postseason, which I do not think is an accident at all. I think this offseason is going to show us a lot in terms of teams trying to build their rosters, of overpaying, overdrafting offensive linemen, because it's very proven that the teams with the offensive lines is a big line of demarcation throughout the league right now, and there's a shortage at this position. Certainly Dallas is at 1. I did that without hesitation. These next couple are pretty darn good and were tough to rank. Raiders at 2, Steelers at 3, Packers at 4, and I think they're probably the best protecting line in the league. Patriots at 5 is very, very solid. Atlanta at 6 seems like a slight. I mean, they're probably a top 6 or 7 offensive line in the league. Miami at 7, a lot of young ability. When they're clicking, they're impressive, but a drop-off from those top 6. I got KC at 8. I got the Lions at 9. Houston at 10. The Giants at 11. Seattle at 12. A couple of those ones at the bottom are pretty bad, but you know the teams with the best lines are going to the postseason this year. How about the big guys on the other side? And I have Seattle at 1, and I didn't know what to do with Michael Bennett, so I called him a big guy. So he's not going to count in their edge grade. He's counting in their defensive tackle big man grade. The Hawks are at 1. Miami's at 2. I think Namakong Su does not get the credit he deserves. The Packers, led by Daniels, is at 3. The Giants, that they're big, massive run stuffers, are at 4. And I got to say, I mean, this group isn't super-duper impressive. Kansas City's got a wealth of them. Poe, Jones, they're at 5. Steelers at 6 with 2 at returning. Decent young group. The Patriots at 7 are basically run stuffers. The Lions at 8, not as still okay. I mean, they're all right. They're not great. Not really difference makers. Houston still has Wilfork, and they're okay with their big men. It's not a strength. Obviously, this would be much, much different if J.J. Watt was healthy, but that's a moot point. Dallas is okay at defensive tackle, too. They're at 10. Atlanta's fine. You know, I like Jarrett. He's a penetrator. They're at 11. And the Raiders at 12 are a little worrisome. They're not terrible, but they're certainly not great. When we move to the edge, which is basically off pass rushers, Kansas City's at 1. They have 3 top-end guys. Raiders at 2 with Khalil Mack. Bruce Irvin, I'm going to count as an edge guy. He was a tough guy. He could either be a linebacker or an edge player. I counted him as an edge guy. Houston at 3 with Clowney and Merciless. That's awfully strong. Seattle with Averill. You know, that's a good group, too. Atlanta at 5. Beasley, Freeney. Pretty tough. Miami at 6. Wake is still very much getting it done. Packers at 7. I'm calling Clay Matthews an edge guy. Peppers, Perry, pretty good group. Maybe they should be a little higher. Matthews hasn't played that great. Giants at 8. They'd be higher without Pierre Paul. I still think Vernon's playing very well. Lions at 9. Ansa has not been the player we thought, but I'm still going to give him some respect here for sure. Steelers at 10, Harrison, Dupree, so-so, one old, one young. The Patriots at 11, I really like Trey Flowers. They have, you know, Chris Long and those guys, Sheard, you know, okay. Dallas at 12, have 2 young guys that are coming on strong that are intriguing, but they're still last.
Napa Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
All right, pure second level guys. I mentioned it before, I thought Wagner's the best, and he's got Wright next to him too. They're an easy number one. Although Sean Lee's right behind him. You know, other really strong second level players this year. Lee's right near the top of the list, that's for sure. Patriots, I love Hightower. They're at three. Steelers led by Shazier and Timmons, who's playing better as the season's gone on. It's a pretty good group. Lions at five, if they're healthy. I mean, that's a question mark. I didn't exactly know where to put them. But it's not a very good group here afterwards. I mean, Atlanta's at six. I like the way Deion Jones is coming on. Packers are at seven, basically a group of young guys. Miami at eight. You know, I kind of wanted to put them at 12. Houston at 9, not super impressed with their pure linebackers. Raiders at 10, that hasn't been a strong suit for them. Kansas City without Derek Johnson at 11. And the Giants at 12, at a position that they always pay the least attention to on their team. Works out because they're good in the secondary, they're good in the defensive line. But bad groups of linebackers other than the top couple. Defensive backs, Giants are 1. This is all safeties, all corners. Seattle at 2, even without Earl. The Patriots, led by Malcolm Butler and McCourty, at 3. The Texans at 4. A.J. Bouye, good group of corners. KC has a really good group of defensive backs, too, led by Barry and Peters. Big play guys, they're at 5. Packers are at 6, basically on the shoulders of their safeties. Their corners are a concern, that's for sure. Dallas at 7, like the rest of their defense, solid, not real spectacular. Steelers are at 8. Guys like William Gay are having a good year. Mitchell's a good player. The rookies are coming on. The Raiders at 9. They're okay. They still allow a lot of big plays. They're not probably living up to their billing exactly. Miami at 10. I like Maxwell. The rest of the group worries me, although Lepet is playing better. Atlanta would be much higher with Trufant, but there's no Trufant. They're 11. And the Lions are 12. If I knew Slay was 100%, they would probably move up a couple spots. But overall, they're troubling. And then this is what I did in the next three columns. Just for the fun of it, I added up all the points for the offensive positions. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, / tight end, offensive line. So those four spots, you either got a 1, 2, 3, all the way up to 12 for four categories. So the best score you could ever have would be a 4. The worst score you could ever have would be a 48. The best team was the Steelers at 11. The Falcons at 14. The Packers at 17. The Patriots at 20. The Cowboys at 20. Nobody else in the 20s. No, it's two 29s. It's Kansas City at 29. The Raiders at 29. The Dolphins at 32. And right ahead of them is Seattle at 31. Skip them. Seattle 31. The Dolphins at 32. The Texans and Giants ended up with 35. And the Lions ended up with 39 points on offense, which is the worst. Doesn't mean I think that they are the worst offense. I ranked them 8th. That's just how these all kind of added up. And this was something I did at ESPN before, and that was something people like to do is add up the totals. Obviously, you want to have a low number. So I did the same thing on defense, and this was defense tackles, edge, linebackers, DBs, same thing, four categories. Seattle came in with 8 points, which means they average 2nd in each category, which is unbelievable. That's really, really good, of course. After them, 22 is the Kansas City Chiefs, 23 is the Packers, 24 is the Patriots. The Steelers are at 28. I'm sorry, I skipped a few here. The Texans and Giants are both at 25. The Dolphins are at 26. Steelers are at 28. Then I got Atlanta 33, Raiders 33, Lions 34, and I skipped Dallas in there. They were at 31. So, yeah, take what you want out of these, but I figured I'd just add them up for the heck of it and chat a little couple more minutes with you guys. So then the end, I added the offensive points and the defensive points. Steelers and Seahawks were at 39. The Packers were at 40. The Patriots were at 44. The Falcons were at 47. The Chiefs were at 51, as were the Cowboys. The Dolphins were at 58. The Texans and Giants came in with 60. The Raiders came in with 62. And a distant last was the Lions at 73. And do I think they're the worst team in the playoffs? No. I mean, I think those three teams in the AFC are. But they also have such big quarterback problems. An exercise like this probably makes the Raiders look like they better than they are because it doesn't weight them by position. You know, obviously you don't want to be at the bottom of the list at quarterback. All right. At Williamson NFL is the Twitter handle. Send in your complaints, your concerns. We're going to talk Hall of Fame tomorrow. We're going to take all sorts of Twitter questions. That will do it. Over and out.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.